Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
You're listening to continuing coverage of the Rust shooting trial against Alec Baldwin from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. Now back to the courtroom.
You swear affirm under penalty of law that the testimony you'll give in this case will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. All right, have a seat, talk into the microphone.
May I proceed, Your Honor?
Good afternoon, Deputy Lujan. Would you please introduce yourself to the members of the jury?
Deputy Joseph Lujan, Santa Fe County Sheriff's Office.
Would you pull that microphone a little bit closer to you, sir? Thank you. How are you employed?
With the Santa Fe County Sheriff's Department.
And how long have you been with the Santa Fe County Sheriff's Department?
A little over 10 years now.
And what are your duties?
I'm currently assigned to the Court Services Division.
And how long have you been assigned to the Court Services Division?
About 10 months now, I believe.
And prior to that, where were you assigned?
I was on the Patrol Division.
And what does a Patrol Division do?
We answer calls throughout the county, anything from DWI, crash investigations, criminal investigations, that type of thing.
Were you on duty on October 21st, 2021?
Yes, it was.
And do you recall what you were assigned to do that day?
Just normal patrol duties.
And were you involved in the investigation into a shooting that occurred at the Bonanza Creek Ranch?
Yes, it was.
And what role did you play in that investigation?
Deputy or Sheriff's Office personnel had already been dispatched to the scene at the movie set. Lieutenant Benavidez advised that one of the persons shot was being transported to the hospital and requested a deputy respond to the hospital as well.
Which hospital?
The St. Vincent's Hospital here in Santa Fe.
Okay. And was that deputy you?
Yes, ma'am.
Do you recall approximately what time you were dispatched or you went to the hospital?
It was a little bit after 2 o'clock.
And once you arrived at the hospital, where did you go?
I arrived to the emergency room.
And why did you go to the emergency room?
We had been notified, or I had been notified through dispatch that the ambulance was transporting that subject to the emergency room.
And so once you were in the ER, did you go into a room or did you wait in the lobby? What did you do?
I arrived at one of the trauma rooms that's there at the hospital.
What did you observe when you walked into the trauma room?
A gentleman sitting on laying on a gurney, hospital bed type thing, in the upright position. He had an approximate half inch hole to, I believe it was the right side of his shoulder.
Do you remember his name?
Yes, it was Mr. Joel Souza.
And what did you do next?
I briefly made contact with Mr. Souza in an attempt to collect preliminary facts surrounding what had occurred.
Okay. And we're not going to talk about what Mr. Souza told you, but after you spoke with Mr. Souza, what did you do?
I observed medical doctors administer some sort of medication to him, and then they retrieved a projectile from his shoulder.
Okay. Were you watching this as it was taking place?
Yes, it was.
So did you watch doctors retrieve that projectile from his shoulder?
Yes, ma'am.
And what happened to that projectile once it was taken out of Mr. Souza's shoulder?
It was placed into a plastic container It was handed to me and I kept possession of it.
And where did you take it?
It was in my possession until Santa Fe County Sheriff's Office investigators arrived, at which point I gave it to them.
Do you recall who you gave it to?
Miss Marissa Pop. I can't pronounce her
Popple?
Last name. Yes, ma'am.
And who is she?
She is an evidence tech, crime scene tech with the Sheriff's Office.
I'm going to show you what's been marked as State's Exhibit 14. May I approach you?
Recognize
it
14?
Yes, ma'am.
What is it?
That was the projectile that was retrieved by medical staff at the hospital out of Mr. Joel Souza.
Does Exhibit 14 appear to be in the same condition it was in when it was given to you by doctors?
Yes, ma'am.
Your Honor, the state would move into evidence State's Exhibit 14. Thank you. So after you provided this to the crime scene technician, did you have any other involvement in this investigation?
Other than just writing a report, and that was it.
May I have a moment, Your Honor? I have nothing further. Thank you, Deputy.
Yes, ma'am.
Good afternoon, sir. You were the first member of law enforcement to meet with Mr. Souza, the director of the film, afterwards, right?
I believe so, at the hospital, yes, sir.
Right. And I think you told the prosecutor you briefly made contact with him to get some preliminary facts?
Yes, sir.
And he was willing to speak to you, right?
Yes.
And he never once mentioned Alec Baldwin, did he?
Objection, calls for hearsay.
Not hearsay. Never once mentioned Alec Baldwin, correct?
Objection, hearsay.
All right, I don't think...
He never, in describing the preliminary facts, ever mentioned Alec Baldwin, correct?
Correct.
No further questions for this witness.
Any redirect?
No, Your Honor.
All right, thank you, sir. You're excused.
The state calls Marissa Popple. Yeah, she's...
Do you swear affirm under penalty of law that the testimony you'll give in this case will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
All right, thank you. Have a seat. Talk into the microphone.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Please state your name for the record.
Marissa Popple.
Would you spell your last name?
P-O-P-P-E-L-L.
How are you currently employed?
I'm a crime scene technician with Santa Fe County Sheriff's Office.
How long have you held that position?
3 years.
Prior to being the crime scene technician for Santa Fe County Sheriff's Office, were you a crime scene technician elsewhere?
Yes.
Well, where was that?
With the Fort Myers Police Department in Fort Myers, Florida.
And how long did you do crime scene technician work in Florida?
4 years.
And can you briefly describe for the ladies and gentlemen of the jury what a crime scene technician does?
Yes, as a crime scene technician, I respond to all sorts of different scenes, whether they're death investigations, burglaries, robberies, whenever there's an abundance of evidence or an abundance of documentation that's needed. I take photographs of the scenes, of the evidence, I collect the evidence, and then I package it at our office.
And do you ever send any of the evidence that you collect somewhere else for additional testing?
Yes.
And tell us, where would you send things, and give us an idea.
Sometimes things are sent to our local state lab here in Santa Fe. Sometimes they are sent to private labs, or sometimes they are sent to the FBI if they are working with us.
Why would you send things to any of those places?
So our state lab is local, so it's nice to be able to have them in the backyard so that they can help us with more common day items. For independent labs, if we have something that needs done within a very quick time frame, we'll utilize them, but they require us to pay for the testing ourselves. Or if the FBI is assisting with us, sometimes they can do additional testing that maybe our local lab wouldn't be able to do.
I want you to give the ladies and gentlemen of the jury an idea of what kind of testing you are requesting when you send items out.
Yes, this could be latent print analysis, DNA analysis, firearms testing, things of that nature.
And Ms. Popple, how did you become involved in this case?
I was asked to respond to a scene of a shooting along with my criminal investigations division. That would be the detectives and myself responding to a scene on October 21st. Of 2021.
Do you recall approximately what time you arrived on scene?
I believe it was between 2:30 and 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
And when you arrived on scene, kind of walk us through what you were tasked with doing.
The first thing I was asked to do was photograph the initial scene and what was going on around me, essentially.
And can you give us an idea of, so you indicated that you were asked to photograph the initial scene Is that common?
Yes.
And generally speaking, after you photograph the initial scene, do you photograph other things?
Yes.
And what do you photograph?
So any items of evidence would be photographed on scene, and then if additional photographs are needed, then those items could be laid out at our office in a secure area and re-photographed.
And did you take photographs of items of evidence at the scene?
Yes.
Did you also take photographs of some of those same items back at the Sheriff's Department?
Yes.
What's the point to that?
If there are areas of detail that would be difficult to photograph on scene, we can do so at the office in controlled lighting conditions, areas where we could move the objects in order to see different parts of it a little easier.
Did you, and I don't want to get too much into the details right now, but did you also participate in the execution of search warrants?
Yes.
And why do you, as the crime scene technician, participate in the execution of search warrants?
Part of my duties when we're executing a search warrant is I'm not only documenting all of the evidence on scene, but I'm also collecting all of that evidence, and that evidence stays in my custody.
Other than collecting evidence at the scene itself, did you collect evidence in other places pursuant to search warrants?
Yes.
Go ahead and explain to the jury the different places that you went to, just to kind of give them an overview before we get into it.
I was asked to collect evidence at the initial scene at the church. I was then later asked to collect evidence out of a prop truck that was nearby, and then at an even later date, asked to assist with a search warrant at an office in Albuquerque.
All right, can I have the Elmo? Maybe you start that way. And the office in Albuquerque that you were asked to participate in a search of, what office was that?
That was a PDQ warehouse.
And do you know now what PDQ is?
Yes, it's a prop supply company.
And that's in Albuquerque?
Yes.
Did you search and take your photographs at PDQ in Albuquerque on the same day as this incident?
No.
On the 21st of October?
No.
Do you recall approximately when you did the search warrant at PDQ?
November 30th.
And the search warrant that was executed on that prop truck, do you recall when you participated in that?
October 27th.
I'm going to show you what's already been admitted as State's Exhibit 7. See, just. Did you take that photograph?
Yes, I did.
And why did you take that photograph?
This photograph is of the prop truck that was at our initial scene.
Did you say, is this a truck?
Or, I apologize, a prop cart at our initial scene.
Do you know what a prop cart is used for on the movie set?
My understanding was that it was a cart that had some props on it.
Do you know whether or not those props included real guns?
I do not.
Still today, you don't know?
The firearms that are visible on this, one is a plastic gun, and the other is a firearm that has a blocked cylinder. So it's not a loadable gun. So they're not usable firearms.
Understood. Can you, if you recall, did you collect real firearms from the set of Rust?
Yes.
How many real firearms did you collect from the set of Rust?
There was one firearm that was taken on the initial scene.
But when you continued your searching, when you indicated you searched the prop truck, is that right?
Yes.
So let me back up. The initial real firearm that you took, where was it when you first saw it? And do we have number six? What happened to the item of evidence? Ms. Popple, this is State's Exhibit 6, and it has previously been admitted into evidence. So if you would open it. Do you recognize that?
Yes.
What is that?
This is the firearm that was taken out of Lieutenant Benavidez's vehicle.
And what did you do with it?
I photographed this item and then collected it, took it back to my office where it was photographed in more detail.
And then what did you do with it?
It was submitted to the FBI for analysis.
And why did you submit it to the FBI for analysis? What kind of analysis?
I believe that we were requesting DNA, latent prints, and firearms testing on it.
DNA, you said latent prints?
Yes.
For those folks that aren't involved in law enforcement, what does latent prints mean?
So your fingerprints leave behind oils and waters on surfaces, which are then referred to as latent, meaning invisible. So we have your fingers leaving behind invisible fingerprints.
And what was the other analysis that you asked the FBI?
The firearms functioning test.
And why would you ask the FBI to perform a firearms functioning test?
We wanted to make sure that the firearm was in proper working order.
From the time that you collected that from Lieutenant Benavides's patrol unit to the time that it was sent to the FBI, where was it kept?
It was first secured in my office and then submitted into our evidence vault.
And when you say vault, does that mean that it's secure?
Yes.
And how long was it kept in the vault before it was sent to the FBI, if you recall?
I don't recall exactly. I would say it was within that week that it was sent out.
And when we send items of evidence to the FBI, how do you do that? Do you just throw them in a box and put them in the mail?
No. A formal request was made to the FBI lab, and then they had a agent respond and take custody of the items.
Who was that agent?
I believe that was Agent Cortez.
So does Agent Cortez come to the Sheriff's Department and take the items?
Yes.
Okay. And then at some point, do you get the items back?
Yes.
And do you recall when you got these items back?
I do not.
Okay. Were they away from the Sheriff's Department and at the FBI for a considerable amount of time?
Yes.
I apologize, I have been corrected. I thought that State's Exhibit 6 had already been admitted into evidence, but I've been notified that it hasn't been, so I would like to move it into evidence.
Admitted into evidence. It is...
she didn't move it.
No, she didn't. It's 57813. Yeah, you did not move it in.
Okay. I'd like to go ahead and move it into evidence at this time.
No objection.
You may publish.
When you sent this firearm to the FBI, did it appear intact?
Yes.
At some point, did you receive it back from the FBI?
Yes.
Had its condition changed?
Yes.
Describe it just generally when you opened the box, what had changed about its condition?
The cylinder of the firearm had been removed and placed separately, and there appears to be an internal component that was bagged in a small plastic bag separate from the firearm.
Okay, and may I approach? I haven't actually seen one. I think that what I'd like to do is have it move. Let's open it and set it right there so that the jury can see what we've been looking at and talking about. As best we can.
Thank you, sir.
Just to be clear, this is the same firearm that you collected from Lieutenant Benavides's patrol unit?
Yes.
And is this generally the condition that it was in when you received it back from the FBI?
Yes.
I see that there's a little plastic bag. Can you tell us what's in that plastic bag?
So there are three small metal broken pieces in the plastic bag.
Okay, but other than those broken pieces, was the firearm in generally the same condition?
Yes.
Okay, thank you, sir. And does this stay at the courthouse overnight? Okay, so I don't know if you want to with it.
Yeah.
Okay, great, thank you, sir. I want to go back to State's Exhibit 7, if we can. This cart, did you go through the items that were on it?
Yes.
And did you photograph them?
Yes.
Can you give the jury an idea of what's on that cart? Because it's kind of hard to see everything.
There were multiple boxes of ammunition on the bottom section of the cart, bags, the fake firearms, gun belts with ammunition, earplugs, candy, a fanny pack with ammunition inside, just a multitude of items.
Did that cart, did those items appear to be in any discernible order?
No.
Was there loose ammunition on the cart?
Yes.
And did you collect that?
Yes.
And when you collected that ammunition, did you take it back to the sheriff's office?
Yes.
And what did you do with it when you got it back there?
It was then laid out and photographed.
Now, is this the first time that you've been called to an investigation on a movie set?
Yes.
And have you learned, based on your work on this case, what a dummy round is?
Yes.
Can you explain to the ladies and gentlemen of the jury what a dummy round is?
A dummy round is essentially ammunition that is not designed to fire a projectile. It is ammunition that's made distinct by either a hole billet being drilled through the side of it, so it's obvious that there's no gunpowder inside. The primer has been removed so that it can't be fired, so it makes it obvious that it's a dummy round.
And I'm going to stop you real quick. I want you to explain to the ladies and gentlemen of the jury what you mean when you say primer.
The primer is the base of the round. So it's the small circle that the firing pin hits. So since that's removed, there's nothing there for the firing pin to hit and project that projectile. The dummy rounds are also indicated by, if you shake them, they make a rattle sound. Instead of having gunpowder inside, they have a ball bearings inside so that you can shake them and know that they're not live ammunition.
So you just kind of went through some of the distinguishing characteristics of dummy rounds. Would a dummy round have all three of those distinguishing characteristics?
No, it could have two out of the three, but I haven't run into any that have had all three.
So approximately how many dummy rounds did you end up taking into evidence?
Specifically that were dummy rounds, I think we have 50. I might be mistaken about that. I apologize. I'm not sure of the exact number of dummy rounds that
we have. Let me just ask you this. You talked about how a round may have a ball bearing in it. Is that right?
Correct.
Would that dummy round that has the ball bearing in it, would that also have a hole in the side?
No, because then the ball bearings would fall out.
Okay. So do the dummy rounds either have a hole in the side or a ball bearing?
Correct.
And based on your work on this case, how would someone know that the dummy round with the ball bearing in it is actually inert?
They would shake it and it would make a rattle noise.
Okay. And did many of the dummy rounds that you took to the Sheriff's Department make those noises?
Yes.
Did you also collect any other kind of ammunition from the movie set? Any other types?
Yes.
What other types of ammunition?
It's a type of ammunition that's referred to as a blank.
And can you describe to the ladies and gentlemen of the jury generally what a blank is?
So a blank is a round of ammunition that has gunpowder in it. However, it does not have a projectile head on the top. So it has a crimped end, kind of like you would see a dumpling have crimps. And that way there's nothing for that gunpowder to project out the barrel of the gun.
And when you collected all of this ammunition, you took it back to the Sheriff's Department?
Yes.
And at some point, did you examine closely all of the ammunition?
Yes.
And were you, did you develop any suspicions?
Yes.
What suspicions did you develop?
There were several rounds that when shaken did not make the rattle noise, and they all had a silver in color primer at the end instead of a brass colored primer.
And did the primer appear to be intact?
Yes.
And did those have a hole in the side?
No.
You indicated that you had some suspicions about them. What was your suspicion?
My suspicion was that they were live rounds.
And what did you do with those live rounds, or suspected live rounds, rather?
They were sent to the FBI for testing to see if they were live rounds or not.
So you didn't take them apart there at the Sheriff's Department. Can you describe to the ladies and gentlemen of the jury what a casing is, or a spent casing?
Once a live round is used in a firearm, the casing is what was encasing that round. So in a regular firearm, it was what would be ejected out of it, out the side. In a case of a revolver, it's what's left in the cylinder. So the projectile has come out of the firearm, and the casing is what's left behind.
Did you collect any spent casings from the scene?
Yes.
How many did you collect from the initial scene?
One.
I'm going to show you what has been, I believe, previously admitted into evidence as State's Exhibit 10.
Is that a photograph that you took?
Yes.
Let me make it there. And can you tell us what we're looking at?
Yes, this is a close-up image of the top of the cart. There was a spent casing on top of the cart, which is what we see up top here, where it has no projectile head on the end. And then there was another round next to it.
Can you move this? As you sit here today, do you recall whether that round was the one that we're looking at that appears intact? Was that a dummy round or a live round?
That was a dummy round.
Okay. So, in addition to collecting this ammunition, did you also collect other items of evidence?
Yes.
Did you collect any gun belts?
Yes.
And let me also ask you, and let me show you, if I have it here, I'm going to show you what's been previously admitted into evidence as State's Exhibit 12. Do you recognize that?
Yes.
And what are we looking at there?
These were two boxes of ammunition that were inside of Lieutenant Benavidez's unit.
So let's talk about exactly what we see in the photograph. Do you see the white box that says 45 long Colt dummies with a very small JS in the middle?
Yes.
Did you open that box?
Yes.
And what was inside that box?
There were rounds inside of the box and a foam insert. Some of them were marked as 45LC, some of them were 44-40 rounds.
And what's the difference between 45LC and 44-40?
They are different caliber rounds.
And were there any rounds inside that box that you suspected to be live rounds?
Yes.
How many?
One.
Let me ask you this. How many rounds altogether did you discover that you thought were suspected live rounds on the set of Rust?
Five and the spent casing, so six in total.
And I want to talk a little bit about where those rounds were located. So we've got one that you suspected came out of this box, is that right?
Yes.
And just so that we're clear, the box on the right in the photograph, what was inside that box?
There were blank rounds inside that box.
And were they all legitimately blank rounds?
Yes.
And give me just one moment to pull up some additional exhibits here. I think you testified that you collected some items of evidence from inside the church. Is that correct?
Yes, correct.
Did you collect any gun belts from inside the church?
Yes.
How many, if you recall?
There was a gun holster, just one, inside the church.
And did you take that back? Well, the holster, was there anything unique about it? Was it just a piece of leather, or did it have additional parts to it?
It appeared to be a shoulder holster, so the one that would not go around your waist, but one that would go over your shoulder, and it had a fake knife attachment to it.
And were there the piece of leather? Did the holster hold anything?
Yes, it was able to hold ammunition.
And when you collected that holster, did it have ammunition sitting inside of it?
Yes.
And the ammunition that was inside of that holster, did you closely examine it?
Yes.
And did any of that was in the holster cause you to suspect that there were any live rounds in the holster?
Yes.
How many rounds that were in that holster did you suspect were live?
One.
And you sent that to the FBI?
Yes.
And based on your work on this case, do you know who was the actor who was assigned to that holster?
Alec Baldwin.
Can we go ahead and, I don't know exactly. Yeah, let's publish it. Oh, I'm sorry. Do you have any objection to the exhibits that I showed you previously? Okay. So I'm going to move for the admission of State's Exhibit 22 and ask for permission to publish. Did you take this photograph?
Yes.
And what are we looking at here?
This is the interior of the church. And it is a close-up of some of the benches or pews that were inside of the church.
And do you see something leather there?
Yes, on the second row of benches, there is a jacket and a holster.
Is that the holster that we've been talking about?
Yes.
Is that where it was when you collected it?
Yes.
And I would like to show you what has been previously marked as, just one moment, I think it's 12 and 13. Mr. Spiro, do you need to go through these with me?
Just show me the picture quickly.
Okay, so I'm gonna have to unplug.
Oh, no, I can pull.
Okay. Well, but it's going to come up on the screen, so I don't want to publish
up,
it.
I'll look at it and then I'm sure it's
no, fine. But as soon as I move it, it's going to come up on all the screens. Okay.
I have no objection. No objections to 15.
17.
No objection.
18.
No objection. I'm happy to stipulate that whatever Ms. Investigator Popple recovered at the scene.
Well, we need a little more identity, but it's 12, 13, 15, 16, 17, 18. Okay, so what's missing is from you don't, so you're not doing 22, 23, 24, 25, right?
22's on the screen.
All right, what about 23, 24, 25? I didn't hear you name those.
There's no issue. The only one.
I just want to get the numbers. This becomes a problem later.
23 is already in evidence. What were the other ones you had?
24, 25.
I don't think I'm. All right. I'll go ahead and do 24, 25.
Wait.
No objection.
Okay. So 22 is in evidence. I don't have 23. You don't either, do you?
No. What do you mean? 23?
Well, we've been keeping track, and we
right.
don't have.
So I think this is what we're. Moving into evidence.
Okay, just, I don't need to be, yeah. 22.
23 is already in evidence. Or maybe what number is it? I'm looking at the same picture that's up here.
That's, I think she's test the church benches. Oh, that's not it.
22 is the church bench.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What's up on the screen?
Seven and eight, so that's wrong. That is 22. You can see in the lower left there.
This one on the screen?
We can't see on the lower left. Oh, exhibit 22. Okay, 22. Yes, it is. All right, so let me just clarify. All right, 13 has already been admitted. 12 has already been admitted. 26 has already been admitted. You're tracking me as well, right?
Me? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, so what we don't have, 14 has been admitted. So 15 through 21, 22 was just admitted. We don't have 23.
That's fine. I'm not moving through the admission of 23. I think it's a duplicate.
Okay, let me just... All right, we don't have 25. We do have 26.
Right.
So did you want... So you said... What about 25?
Yes, I will be moving for the admission of 25.
Okay, and then 27, 28, 29, 30, 31, 32, 33.
Correct.
Okay, so on the record, court is going to admit 15, 16, 17, 18, 19... 20, 21, 23, 25, 27, 28, 29, 30, 31, 32, 33.
Your Honor, there's objections, as I think the court might remember, to 31, 32, 33. They're not relevant.
All right, well, let's not confuse me at the late
sure.
day, so I'm just going to write down what's been admitted, and then we will go from there. Okay, this gets to be a real mess later. So 15. So we've got 15. Sorry to slow us down. 18. 19, 20, 21, 23, 25, 27, 29, 30. And you're objecting to 31, 32, 33.
Yes, Your Honor, we've discussed that.
And I believe the court reserved a ruling on it. We can take it up in the morning. If you
All right, so let's just go with what we've admitted. You may publish.
Okay, and I apologize. I will move also for the admission of 23. What I was looking at there is different than the actual 23. Any objection to 23?
You said you needed 23. You said 24 you didn't want to publish.
I did. Okay, great. Mm-hmm. Let's do it that way. Okay, do you
want to
approach?
What's this? Court's 4? This is Court's 4.
Ms. Popple, I'm going to show you what has been marked, and I think these are all stipulated too, so we've just moved these into evidence. I think we're just collectively moving them into evidence, and I can go through them now. Okay. States Exhibit 15. Ms. Popple, do you recognize that?
Yes.
What is that a photo of?
This is a close-up of the rounds that were in the holster that we were discussing.
Mr. Baldwin's holster.
Yes.
And I see, how many silver primers do you see there?
There are two.
And which one did you suspect was a live round?
The one that's closer to the center that has a cleaner look to it.
This one here?
Yes.
And the one that was on the left that has the silver primer, when you examined that, what happened?
When that one was examined, it was determined to be a dummy round.
Do you know who provided that dummy round?
To the set of Rust?
I do not.
Okay. Other than Mr. Baldwin's holster, were there other gun holsters that you collected?
Yes.
And were there other holsters that contained what you suspected to be live ammunition?
Yes.
How many others?
There was one other, a gun belt that was located on top of the cart that had a suspected live round.
I'm going to show you State's Exhibit 16. Can you tell us what we're looking at there?
Yes, this is a close-up of the gun belt that was taken from the top of the cart, and it is a close-up specifically of the rounds that were inside of it.
And was the suspected live round the one with the silver primer?
Yes.
We talked a little bit about that box of ammunition the box of dummies that you took out of Lieutenant Benavidez's unit. I'm going to show you what's been marked as State's Exhibit 17. Do you recognize that?
Yes.
And can you point us to the suspected live round that you testified to inside that box?
Yes, it's the round on the far right with the silver and color primer.
This one right here?
Yes.
And I think you testified that there was some loose ammunition on the top of that prop cart. Is that right?
Yes.
And did you collect all that?
Yes, I did.
You took it back to the Sheriff's Department?
Yes.
Any of the ammunition that you collected from the top of the prop cart, did you suspect any of that to be live ammunition?
Yes.
I'm going to show you State's Exhibit 26, which I believe was previously in evidence. Do you recognize that?
Yes.
And did you take that photo?
Yes, I did.
So what is this a photo of?
This is an overall photo of all of the loose ammunition that was collected from the top of the cart.
So these six items here at the top, what are those?
Those are all blank rounds. They have the crimped end.
So they're missing the projectile?
Yes.
Do they ignite? Do they make a sound, if
yes.
You know?
Yes, they do.
Do they have gunpowder in them?
Yes.
What are they missing? Just the projectile?
Correct.
And these here, on the left, these two rounds that look very much like each other. Were you able to determine whether those were dummies or suspected live rounds?
Those were dummy rounds.
And the two rounds over here on the right, when you examined those, did you have any concerns?
Yes.
What were your concerns?
My concern was that they were live rounds.
And did you send those to the FBI?
Yes.
And then we see this round down here at the bottom, and I see a hole in the casing. Do you see that?
Yes, I do.
Is that what you were describing as a dummy round with a hole in the casing?
Yes.
So was that sent to the FBI?
It was not.
Okay. Now, I'm going to show you State's Exhibit 27. Do you see that?
Yes.
And those rounds that we're looking at right there, are they also in the previous photo?
Yes, they are.
Let's go back to 26. Are they these right here?
Yes, they are.
So they had silver primers, is that right?
Correct.
And did you collect and photograph that spent casing?
Yes, I did.
I'm going to show you what's been marked as State's Exhibit 28. Is that the spent casing?
Yes, it is.
I'm going to show you what's been marked as State's Exhibit 29. Do you recognize that?
Yes, I do.
And what is that?
This is the bottom of that same spent casing.
So when you talked about the primer being the area that the firing pin of the gun strikes, are you referring to this silver right here?
Yes, I am.
And do you know what that little dimple in the top is called?
That is made from the firing pin.
Okay. That's the mark that's left?
Yes.
All right. Now, when you ultimately conducted a search of the prop truck, did you collect additional ammunition?
Yes.
And was there any live ammunition found in the prop truck?
No.
Or any suspected live ammunition round?
No.
So what kind of ammunition did you take out of the prop truck?
We took blanks and dummy rounds.
Do you remember approximately how many?
I would approximate 1,000 to 1,500.
Did you closely examine each and every one of those?
Yes.
Hang on, here we go. I'm going to show you what's been marked as State's Exhibit 19. Do you recognize that?
Yes, I do.
And where was that located?
This was located in a bag on the prop truck.
When you say on the prop truck, because we weren't there, can you describe this truck?
I apologize. It is a storage truck, so almost like you would see a moving vehicle. It has that amount of storage in the back area of it.
And does it have a door that comes down?
Yes.
So you found this inside that prop truck in a bag, is that right?
Yes.
And did you go through the contents of this box?
Yes, I did.
And there were no dummy rounds. I'm sorry, there were no live, suspected live rounds.
There was one round that did not make a sound, so it was sent to the FBI as well.
But okay. I'm going to show you what has been marked as State's Exhibit 30. Do you recognize that?
Yes.
And what is that, and how does it relate to the previous photo that we saw?
These are the rounds that were inside of that box, but they were taken out of the box and laid out to be photographed.
Is there anything unusual or noteworthy about these dummy rounds compared to the other dummy rounds that you found on set?
Yes.
What is that?
The dummy rounds found on set had this almost new shine to them. These rounds that were located have this antique look to them.
And do you mean that kind of brown color, that sort of antique color on the brass?
Yes.
And was one of these dummy rounds located in Mr. Baldwin's bandolier?
Yes.
Let's just jump back for a moment. I'm going to show you what's been marked as State's Exhibit 23. Just for completeness, can you tell us what that is?
Yes, this is a close-up of the jacket and holster that were found on the bench inside of the church.
And I'm going to show you what's been marked as State's Exhibit 25. Can you tell us what that is?
This is a projectile that was recovered from Joel Souza's shoulder.
And how did you get that?
I responded to the hospital and received it from Deputy Lujan.
And when you took it from Deputy Lujan, what was it in?
It was in a plastic cylinder container.
And what did you do with it?
I took it to the office and photographed it with scale.
And after you photographed it, this is your picture here, right?
Yes.
After you photographed it, did it get sent anywhere?
Yes, it got sent to the FBI lab.
State's Exhibit 20, can you just tell us what that is?
This is the exterior of the church.
State's Exhibit 21, tell us what that is.
This is the interior of the church.
State's Exhibit 24. Did you take that photo?
Yes, I did.
When did you take that photo?
This was after the firearm was recovered from Lieutenant Benavidez's vehicle.
Is this the condition the firearm was in when you recovered it from Lieutenant Benavidez's vehicle?
Yes.
Is this the condition it was in when it was sent to the FBI?
Yes.
All right, bear with me. Let me catch up with you here. Did you participate in making the decision about which items of evidence were going to be analyzed at the FBI?
Yes.
And let's go through the items of evidence that were sent to the FBI for analysis. State's Exhibit 24, we understand it was sent, correct?
Yes.
And I think you testified previously that you sent it for DNA testing, is that right?
Yes.
And without talking about specifically that testing, did you get results back?
Yes.
I think you indicated that you sent it for functionality testing, is that right?
Yes.
And did you get the results of that?
Yes.
And then at some point, did you participate in a discussion or a decision to have additional testing done on this gun?
I believe I was part of that conversation, yes.
Okay. And so was additional testing of this gun requested at the FBI?
Yes.
And do you recall generally what that requested testing was?
I'm uncertain as to what they phrase it as, but I believe it was a drop test
that
was requested.
And what did you intend them to test for?
That the firearm, whether or not it would be able to go off without the trigger being pulled, I believe.
Okay. And did you send some of the boxes of ammunition to the FBI?
Yes.
Why?
We sent all of the suspected rounds, suspected live rounds, to determine if they were in fact live rounds. One additional round was sent that did not make a sound to determine whether or not it was a dummy round. And I believe that in the case of the box that was recovered from Lieutenant Benavidez's vehicle, they wanted it in its entirety, so we sent them the entire box.
Okay, and when you're talking about the box, are you talking about the box that we saw earlier that said 45 Long Colt dummies with a JS in the middle?
Yes.
And what kind of analysis did you want done on the box? Did it have anything to do with the box itself?
We wanted latent prints completed on the box itself.
Okay. And is it customary, if you can explain to us how this works, is it customary that the Sheriff's Department swabs items of evidence for DNA?
There are times where we will swab items for DNA. However, most labs, when we are requesting that they assist us, they want the items in their entirety. So they want to complete the swabbing themselves.
So with regard to State's Exhibit 24, which is a photograph of the firearm, with regard to that firearm, did you swab it for DNA?
No.
Why not?
Because we were sending it to the lab and that determination had already been made. We wanted to send it in its entirety to the lab.
So was it swabbed at the FBI?
Yes.
And in terms of, sounded like you did another search. You did a search of a business in Albuquerque. Is that right?
Yes.
Do you know why the Sheriff's Department wanted to search that location?
It was my understanding that because the owner of that business had assisted in supplying dummy rounds to the set, that we wanted to ensure that we weren't finding any additional live rounds. And to determine that, we needed to search that warehouse as well.
And what was that person's name, the person who owned that business?
Seth Kenny.
And was Mr. Kenny there when you conducted the search?
Yes.
And did you find live ammunition inside that business?
Yes.
Visibly, in terms of the details of the ammunition, did it appear to be identical to the live ammunition that you collected from the set of Rust?
No.
What did you do with the live ammunition that you collected from PDQ, Mr. Kenny's business?
It was sent to the FBI.
Why? What were you asking them to do?
We were asking them to compare the gunpowder inside of the rounds found at PDQ to the gunpowder found inside the live rounds on set.
Why?
We wanted to determine if they originated from the same place.
And did you get the results back?
Yes.
And if you would, I see that you've got a box with you.
Yes, I do.
Can you pull that box out for us? May I approach? I'm going to show you what I am going to mark as State's Exhibit 34. Mr. Spiro, do you want to have a look? Do you want to come up here? Okay, I'm going to show you what I've marked as State's Exhibit 34, and I would ask you to tell us what we're looking at here.
So this is the live round that was taken from the box located in Lieutenant Benavidez's vehicle. It's been deconstructed by the FBI. Therefore, we have the casing, the projectile, and the gunpowder that was inside all separated.
And is the gunpowder in this container here?
Yes.
For all of the five live rounds, suspected live rounds that were sent to the FBI, were they all disassembled by the FBI?
Yes.
And were they all returned to you in this condition?
Yes.
Do they all look exactly the same?
Yes.
I'm going to move into evidence State's Exhibit 35, 36, 37, and 38.
Your Honor, if I could just ask one clarifying just to find out the date of that, so I know because I have an examiner.
The date of what?
When she received them back or
I
approximately
think she,
even.
Do you know approximately when you received them back?
I do not. I have that back at the office, but I don't have it on me at the moment.
Can you give us an estimate? Was it a month? Was it a year?
I would estimate 6 months to a year.
That's fine, Your Honor. Thank you.
I ended at 38, but there will be a 39. You said they all look the same, right?
Yes.
Is that true also of the powder in the little container?
Yes.
It all appears to be the same?
Correct.
And I'm showing you, sorry, I keep throwing them down, 35, 36, here's 37, here's 38. The live rounds that you sent to the FBI that you collected from PDQ, did those live rounds come back in kind of this same condition, disassembled?
Yes. And are you able to zoom out?
Oh, here. Is the glare? Would it be easier if I just handed it to you?
It's okay.
Well, can I approach and I'll hand you what's been marked as State's Exhibit 38.
Yeah, for the record, these have all been admitted and published.
Yes, they all returned in this such a condition.
So the live rounds that you took from PDQ, did I ask you to bring those here today?
You did not.
Do you have them back at the Sheriff's Department?
Yes.
And when they were returned to you from the FBI, They were deconstructed like this, right?
Yes.
So you had a casing, a projectile, and a container of powder?
Yes.
Did the container that holds the gunpowder, just visibly, did it appear the same or different than the live rounds that came from the set of Rust?
It was different.
And you could just see that with your eye?
Correct.
And I'm going to show you what has been, or what I will mark right now as State's Exhibit 39, just for completeness. And what is that?
This is the spent casing that was located on top of the cart.
Okay. Is there anything else that you did in this case, generally?
In general terms, I was also asked to collect DNA standards, fingerprint standards from various parties, so that those could also be sent for comparison at the FBI.
And what parties did you collect DNA standards from?
I collected them from David Hall's, Hannah Gutierrez, and I believe Lieutenant Benavidez as well.
Did you, I'm sorry, do you know whether or not a DNA standard from Mr. Baldwin was collected?
It was collected by another agency.
Okay. When you took the firearm out of Mr. Benavidez's patrol unit, did it appear to be damaged or modified in any way?
Not that I was able to see.
And let me go back to State's Exhibit 21. What are we looking at there?
This is the interior of the church after I've laid down evidence markers.
So just explain to the ladies and gentlemen of the jury so that they know what are evidence markers and where do we see them in this picture so they can make sense of what they're looking at.
Evidence markers are utilized so that when we go back and reference photos, we can easily determine where things were placed in a scene, where things were when we went there. So in this photo specifically, any numbered areas were physical items of evidence or possible evidence that was collected by myself. Any areas that are marked with a letter were areas of suspected blood that were also swabbed and collected.
And just to be clear, the evidence that we've looked at that was photographed, all of these, is that all the evidence in the case?
No.
And the items of evidence that you brought in the box, that's not all the evidence in this case, right?
Right.
Do you still have all of the evidence?
Yes.
And where is it?
It is in the evidence vault at the Santa Fe County Sheriff's Office.
So if anyone wants you to bring it in, you can do that, is that right?
Yes.
All right. Thank you. I will pass the witness.
I think we're going to end for the day so that you all can get your exhibits together for Faith, okay? Amen. Sorry, I looked and said different
name. Okay, thank you. Jury, please don't talk among yourselves or anyone else about the evidence received here in court. Don't be looking at anything about the trial, anything about the subject matter, either on TV, Googling, research, whatever, news accounts, what the caution I've told you, okay? At 8:30, according to Steve Bing, have a good evening. Thank you.
All rise with the jury.
Is there anyone on the record says I'll agree to that order that I have?
Yeah, okay. Well, I thought that's what was agreed to, order of witnesses.
It absolutely was. I just wanted to confirm as we're running out.
Okay.
We'll confer you.
All right. Okay. Anything else?
If I could just beg the courts to quickly look at Exhibit 6, which I wasn't able to see when they opened it.
Exhibit 6?
6.
Oh, 6.
That's just not all I was
Where is it? Is it here?
If it's not here, never mind.
No, Martine took it to save it. I could ask Corporal War, Deputy Apodaca. I don't have my glasses on. Are you sure?
I was trying to catch it, but it's okay.
Okay.
I'm happy to call him up. Yeah.
Okay, anything else? Ms. Morrissey?
No, Your Honor.
Okay. All right, have a good evening. Thank you.
There's more to come in the Rust shooting trial against Alec Baldwin from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. Press subscribe now.
What if I told you that right now, millions of people are living with a debilitating condition that's so misunderstood, many of them don't even know that they have it? That condition is obsessive-compulsive disorder, or OCD. I'm Dr. Patrick McGrath, the Chief Clinical Officer of NOCD, and in the 25 years I've been treating OCD, I've met so many people who were suffering from the condition in silence, unaware of just what it was. OCD can create overwhelming anxiety and fear around what you value most, make you question your identity, beliefs, and morals, and drive you to perform mentally and physically draining compulsions or rituals. Over my career, I've seen just how devastating OCD can be when it's left untreated. But help is available. That's where NoCD comes in. NoCD is the world's largest virtual therapy provider for obsessive compulsive disorder. Our licensed therapists are trained in exposure and response prevention therapy, a specialized treatment proven to be incredibly effective for OCD. So visit NoCD.com to schedule a free 15-minute call with our team. That's NoCD.com.